Let it be known that this disclaimer is intended to make it clear any views and or opinions expressed on the Fox Paranormal Chat are just that. Any topics of discussion during a broadcasted show is in no way the exclusive view nor opinion of the host or any Web Radio Network staff. You're listening to the Fox Paranormal Chat on the Web Radio Network. And now, Michael and Destiny Fox.
And we are live, Michael Fox.
Hi, everybody. It is so great to be here tonight with all everybody.
It really is. We had such a fantastic weekend. Jessica, I sure wish you had been with us.
I wish I had too. Unfortunately, finances didn't work out that way this time, but I'm going next year if I can help it.
There you go. Save up for that one for sure. We went to the Warren's Paracon. Oh my goodness. I am still tired from that.
Warren's Speakers of the Supernatural.
You got to meet some really important people.
Phantasmacon.
Fantastic. We really Annabelle, did. Right?
It was fun. We got to meet new friends. I got to meet people that I'm only friends with on Facebook. Got to meet them in person. Oh goodness, it was so amazing. Got to meet Tony Spera and Judy. They really are. They were so nice to us, down to Michael and Tony talking about how to make meatballs.
Yeah, Tony and I was talking about how to spice up meatballs.
Yeah,
when you meet a new friend and they treat you like family, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. We got to meet Jason Hoff's daughter, Santori.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She's pretty cool. And I'm trying to think who else. There were so many people there. We couldn't get to everybody. It was like we were doomed to be at our merch table the whole time. No kidding. If somebody had to go to the bathroom, the other one had to stay. If somebody went to eat, it was like get food for both of us. It was hectic, just Michael and I. It was a busy con.
Oh, it was busy.
Right at the time for the doors to open, there were like hundreds of people lined up at the door.
They said there was a 10 a.m. when they started accepting tickets. They said there was 2,000 people in line.
Good grief.
Yes.
That's a lot.
It was an experience.
I've been to conventions that were big like that, but they weren't Paracons. They were like Comic-Cons.
Mm-hmm.
I went to MegaCon in Orlando in like 2010. There was some like 40,000 people there. I was totally overwhelmed.
Yeah. That's kind of what this was. It was almost overwhelming, but I think Destiny and I handled it like pros.
Yes. And we had this young girl come up to our table and we were talking and I noticed she was talking a little funny, a little bit. And I thought, well, bless her heart, she must have braces in her mouth or something, because then I looked and she had vampire teeth.
Like actual vampire teeth?
Yes. And I had to resist the urge to say, please don't bite me. You can have anything on this table, but don't bite me.
Destiny, I'm sure she had her shots.
Yeah, she was a sweet girl, though. Her and one of her friends stopped by. We met all kinds of people. fascinating people. It was just good. It was just good. I'm really looking forward to returning to that.
Destiny, I'm sitting here imagining what it would like for my teeth to feel like vampire teeth. And all I can say is I bet like the first few days of that, when you get it done, you cut the inside of your lips like braces.
Well, you know, yeah. I bite my tongue all the time.
Oh my gosh, you bite right through.
Imagine I would bite my tongue off.
Talk with a little lift.
She did. And I
she had a little lift when she talked.
Braces, but adorable girl. Just absolutely adorable. We had a young lady beside us. Her name was Shannon. And we're going to be having her on the show here in 2 or 3 weeks. And she was fascinating. Also, I'm going to talk to another friend of mine that was there and have her on the show. We're going to have some interesting guests. It's just our schedules are not matching up so we can do anything like here and now or the next couple of weeks. But we're going to book some fascinating people to talk with and let them share their stories with us and a little bit about themselves. I was looking on the internet today and I found some fascinating paranormal stories. Since we didn't get to do anything for Halloween, I had to work late Halloween night. So it was come home and I'm tired and exhausted. The last day of the month, if it falls on one of our business days, our operation of business days, then I have to stay late. I have to balance the books and report here, reports there. And so I never get to do anything on Halloween night. So I thought since we didn't get to do anything for Halloween, I would share some of these stories. Michael hasn't read them. You know nothing about it. But I'm going to read you some stories that people have shared on the internet about paranormal experiences. And then what I want you two to do is tell me your thoughts on them.
Okay, fair enough.
Plan? Okay, this first story is called The Tucking In. And they tell their story like this. When I was growing up, my bed used to face the hallway out of my bedroom. At the end of this hallway was a bathroom. Every night down this hallway, figures would stop by, walk by, stop, wave, then walk directly into the bathroom. These figures were things I knew, but also didn't know. Sometimes it would be Ernie from Sesame Street. Other times it would be a black, odd creature that I had never seen before. But they would always stop, look at me, and then continue down the hall. Every night also, my mom would come and tuck me into bed. This was a clockwork routine you do with your kids. Bedtime story, kiss, tuck in, good night, etc. One night, my mom didn't, and I remember calling her over and over again. Finally, after I'd been calling her, she walked down the hall and into my room. I remember her coming in. She didn't read to me, but she apologized and tucked the sheets in around me. She kissed me goodnight and told me she loved me. When she left the room, she didn't go down the hallway toward the rest of the house. She went toward the bathroom and didn't come back out. I remember sitting there watching the hallway and getting a sick feeling in my stomach. I waited a while, then called for her. I didn't get a response. I remember getting up and going to the hallway to see if she was still there, and she wasn't. I was so freaked out, I ran down the other direction of the hallway to the rest of the house. After the lights were off, and I remember running to her room. She was asleep in her bed. I went to sleep with her that night. And in the morning, I asked her if she came in and tucked me in. She told me that she didn't. And she was so, so tired that she went straight to bed.
The phenomena that people know is like the doppelganger phenomena, mm-hmm. where sometimes spirits will present as a family member. Who says they couldn't present to a child as something familiar like Bert and Ernie?
Right. sort of maybe to entertain this person.
Or to make themselves be not as scary. Like the Black Blob may have forgot to suit up that night. You know what I mean?
And the fact that the spirit felt so bad because the mother didn't come in, that she took the appearance of the child's mother and went into her room and tucked her in.
Maybe it was a grandparent that had passed on.
Maybe.
The mother?
Mm-hmm.
And Ernie from Sesame Street?
No, I don't explain the Ernie from Sesame Street. That must be a demon.
I don't know.
Well, we can't blame everything on being demons. Although it would be the easy way.
I just don't know about a spirit taking the form of a puppet. I guess they can. I guess they could take the form of anything they imprint on.
Interesting story.
It's a situation I've never heard before, you know, far as something or entity of some type taking the form of a television character.
I mean, usually they just like infest a doll or something. You're right about that.
Yeah. So that's a little bit different twist on it. It would be interesting to investigate it, you know, in a situation like that. But
well,
I tend to think it's a family member maybe that was trying to comfort him
or her. It really doesn't say which, but Michael and I have experienced doppelgangers.
Mm-hmm.
We lived in a house and my sister lived with us, and I had just seen her. No, I didn't. She was calling out to Michael. She was calling Michael's name. And when I looked out the window, she wasn't in the house. She had walked to the mailbox and was almost there. And it was a pretty long driveway.
Yeah, it was very long.
And I told Michael, I said, it's not her. I said, because she's outside. And he looked and he said, you did hear that, right? And I'm like, yes, I did. And then we've heard each other call our names, but it wouldn't be them at all. I've heard Michael call out to me, or he'd say, did you just call me, baby? And I'm like, no, I didn't. I'm watching TV. I could have sworn I just heard your voice call me.
You had an incident like that at Old South Pittsburgh too, didn't you?
I did. When we were there, a couple of team members, Big Ronnie and another team member, were sitting at the nurse's station. And we stayed there without, there was water, but there was no hot water. And we spent the whole weekend there. And so I'm the type, no, I've got to wash my hair some way. I did wash my hair in cold water because I'm going to wash my hair. And as far as taking a bath, I had noticed a coffee pot in the break area. So I ran hot water through there a couple of times and I took a sponge bath and I put my gown back on and I went outside. Yeah, I wear my little gownie when we go somewhere, my little t-shirt gownie goes down below my knees. So I went back outside because it was a pretty warm day. And while I was outside, they report seeing me walk past them down the hall with a pitcher or something. With the coffee pot.
Carrying the coffee pot.
But I actually poured the hot water in the pitcher, the plastic, a big, like you'd make tea in to serve. And so just as I passed down, I said, I've got to take a bath. And they said, as soon as I walked down the hall and got out of sight, they looked down at the monitor and they saw me in the courtyard.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
And then they were like looking at each other and they said, how did she do that? She just went that way, but she's outside. So I actually had some doppelganger activity while we were there. So, yeah, that's a good subject, too. That's something a lot of people don't know a lot about.
Well, my theory on this is sometimes I think the spirits will take that form to give you a familiar person rather than trying to take some kind of supernatural form so they don't shake everybody up as bad.
Right. What I thought was amazing about it, people just report seeing doppelgangers, and a lot of things that I've read on it is they don't speak to you, but this one spoke to them.
Mm-hmm.
Where I took the picture, the plastic picture, to our room, room 5, took it to our room, and I bathed with that water. And what they saw, walked down the hall with a coffee pot, which is not what I took down. So that's very interesting.
That particular trip, though, we had a lot of paranormal activity kicking up.
We did.
Yeah, it was a very eventful weekend.
I would say so. Another story. Here we go. Let's get another one in. This one is entitled "The Dark Figure." Again, this person says, my bed faced the door to the hallway, and my room was close to the bathroom. We would keep the bathroom light on at night to make it easy to get around the house. I would regularly see shadowy figures walking past the bathroom at all hours of the night, but I never seemed to be scared of them. One night, one of those shadowy figures stopped at my door for longer than usual, and I immediately felt uncomfortable. I had a guardian angel stone that was really just a porcelain angel figurine in a glass bead. I grabbed it out of my pillowcase and squeezed it tight. Suddenly, there was a super bright light came from behind this dark figure, and it looked as if both the dark figure and this light bolted back into the bathroom. I still live in the house, and I still see the shadowy figures in the night.
Hmm. You know, we've had reports of shadow people before, you know, a lot of times on cases, and, you know, we've experienced them, you know, on some of our investigations, but the bright light, I don't know about.
And it was after she grabbed and squeezed her little guardian angel.
Mm-hmm. Could the bright light been a guardian angel?
It could have been.
We don't know how old this kid is.
No, so, they didn't include their ages in these stories.
So this could have been a little kid. And they're more susceptible to seeing things that are there, because seems like as you get older, your brain kind of shuts that off, or mm-hmm. people convince you that it doesn't exist. So it could have been a light from her guardian angel that she was able to see, or he, that then, you know, like an adult wouldn't be able to see it just because we're shut off to it.
You know, and people put so much confidence into whatever they use for protection. Like some people use a crucifix. Some people use stones. Michael used to carry some stones in his pocket all the time for protection. I don't know whatever happened to him, but for the longest time, when he would put his pants on in the morning, he would equip himself with those stones and drop them right into his pocket. He had so much faith and confidence in that maybe the intent of protection that you felt in that particular item,
mm-hmm.
maybe it really bolted out some protection.
No, I don't think it's any
energy.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not any different than, say, you know, my St. Michael's ring that I wear for protection. You know, I put my everything, my faith and everything in that protection. And I think, you know, whether it be a ring or stones, you know, it's your armor.
Right.
Well, anything can be that way as long as you put enough faith in it.
Right. I thought it was an interesting story. I have another one for you. The still on time husband.
Hmm.
My great-grandmother's husband passed away years before she did. After his death, her house always felt creepy. Well, he was a trucker and would be home every weekend. And just like clockwork, every Friday at 6 p.m., you'd hear the front porch creak. And then after about 8 seconds, you would hear heavy boot steps on the kitchen floor. She started deteriorating on a Monday. She wanted to be home, so the hospital let her go home. Since there was nothing they could do, she passed away at 6:05 p.m. that Friday. Her last words were to her daughter, "Don't cry. George is here to walk with me." The next Friday, there were no boot steps, and the house had now fallen with a silent time. After she passed, the house felt happier. Now, I'm not a very spiritual person, but I believe her husband waited for her.
Hmm.
Oh, would you wait for me, baby?
Yeah.
I'd wait for you, too, I think.
See, I believe that one. That one I would believe because, I believe, her husband did wait for her.
That might have been his unfinished business.
Right.
Well, the bond between the two of them was so strong that it wasn't even broken, after death.
Right. I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Romantic. If you really think about it, it's kind of romantic.
It really is. It really is. So I guess every Friday him coming home was residual.
Mm-hmm. That could have been a residual, or it could have been, an intelligent haunting.
Is there an intelligent residual?
Well, most people consider residual more like a recording just being replayed and replayed and replayed. That's really the definition of a residual. But an intelligent haunting is, they'll actually interact with you.
Right, right.
I don't know that it was residual as much as it was him checking in every Friday, because that one Friday he showed up and she was ready to go with him in 5 minutes.
And she passed, wasn't it, the exact time that he would come home?
6:05, 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when she passed at 6, in 5 minutes he would be home so they could be together.
He would pick her up and take her with him.
Yes. That is such a sweet story.
It reminds me, the connection between the husband and wife in that situation is really a very similar. I was looking at a story the other day about, they were talking about dogs. There was such a connection between a dog and an owner. They said a lot of times these dogs, and they particularly talked about one animal, the dog would go to the cemetery and lay on its owner's grave.
Oh, that's sad.
And they thought, maybe it was the scent, but I don't think it was the scent. I think it was the spiritual connection between the two.
Could have been.
There's been a lot of military dogs that their human died in combat, and the dogs will go and lay beside the casket or mm-hmm. on the grave, and it's really kind of amazing that they're that aware of what's just happened, because we don't give dogs a lot of credit for being smart sometimes.
Right. I know my dog Addie, she is so smart, sometimes too smart.
Very she's attached smart. To it.
Yeah,
she's very sweet too, though. Addie's a good dog.
She is my baby girl. I've never been a person to have dogs. We've had them before, but I've never been close to one like her. And I really get it when people say that they become your babies, your children. I'm like, yes, because I love my puppy dogs so much. But now, I had an experience with a pet. Since we're on the subject, I had a cat that passed away. But every night before this cat died, when he was ready to go to bed, he would jump up on the foot of the bed. He would scale right up the edge, right beside me. I still do it, sleep on my left side with my arm curled around. And a lot of times he would come and just curl up in my arm, and I would let him lay there for a little while before I'd make him move. Well, after he passed away, it was probably a week later, I felt something jump on the foot of the bed, start scaling the edge of the bed. And I thought, if that's my cat and it curls up in my arm, I am so out of here. That was before I started paranormal investigating.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, no, 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 please don't let this happen to me. Please don't let this happen to me. But it never came all the way up the bed. And I truly believe that was my cat doing its routine thing. It's bedtime, and it would always wait till all the lights were out and everything was still and quiet. And then here he would come.
So I totally believe you.
What he does.
Like, I totally believe you. Because when I was a kid, we had a kitten that my dad brought home from work. It was a runt and had been abandoned. We bottle fed the kitten. And then in April, the cat got hit by a car out in front of our house. And so my dad did what he does, and he dug a little grave and he buried the cat between the houses. Well, my grandmother came to visit, and the cat had a really weird personality. Like, if you mopped the floor, he'd wait for you to get the floor wet, and then he'd run and like slide across it. And he jumped sideways. But we had one of those old, like, 70s, 80s style couches that was like a ranch style couch, and it was a wooden frame, and the cushions kind of sat in it. And that cat liked to claw us on the behinds when we'd sit down on that couch. Well, after he was dead, my grandmother and grandfather came to visit, and my grandmother went in there and sat down on the couch, and she suddenly jumped up screaming, and she said, "That cat clawed me on the butt again." And my mom was like, "Neva, that cat's been dead for 3 months." And we saw him in the house too. And then the following October, so he died in April. The following October, we went Halloween night to a party at the church because my mom didn't let us trick or treat. It was a religious issue. And on the way home, they were doing work to the side street. So we had to park across the road and walk between the houses because the houses set like 6 feet apart, if you're lucky. They were very close together. So we're walking through between the houses where the cat is buried. And there's a cat that looks just like our cat laying on his grave.
Wow.
And we kept that cat. We named him Spooky.
Cats have 9 lives.
Right there, waiting on us.
Okay, I have another story. This one is a little bit different. This one is entitled "The Mysterious Creature on the Side of the Road." My two best friends and I went to the midnight premiere of Signs. You know, we saw that movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the movie Signs?
Yeah, the movie Signs.
Night Shyamalan.
Yes.
I didn't sleep for 3 days after I watched that movie. I was seriously afraid they were going to come out of the cornfield that was beside my house.
Did you put the little aluminum foil on your head so they couldn't reach you? Well, that would have helped you. So that alone is why the three of us rarely tell people this incident. So as we were driving down a road, we traveled a million times in order to get to one of our homes, my friend's headlights shined on what we suspected was a dog on the side of the road. My friend slowed down because he feared the dog might run out into the road. This gave us better time to make out the features. The creature was on all fours, had no tail or even fur, and was a solid charcoal color. But then when we were maybe 20 yards away, it turned its head and looked at us. It only had a pair of eyes and no mouth. Then we reached about 10 yards away. It stood up and walked into the bushes. I actually cried. I was so terrified by what we had seen. What made it feel the most real, though, was none of us said a single thing until we reached my friend's house. We were all so uncertain about what we had seen that we couldn't bring it up until my friend turned off his car and looked at me. We knew then that all three of us had seen the same thing. Never knew what it could be, but we're all damn near 40 and still don't really talk about it. I've seen stuff on the side of the road. When we lived in Noonan, there was a story about the Belt Road Booger. The Belt Road Booger was sort of like a Bigfoot creature, and it would get in people's trash and knock everything over. However, a few years later, somebody came forward and said it was just a hoax. It was them the whole time. But going down a road that turns off of this road, and it's in Noonan, and you can Google about the Belt Road Booger. I did see something shadowy kind of run across the road. And I always wondered, hey, could that be the Belt Road Booger? A friend of mine, Donna, she passed away a few years ago. I'm always talking about my friends pass away. I think I'm running people off out of my life. But she had been sick a long, long time. But she told me the story how she was driving down Belt Road. And she was in an area that was dark and quiet and no houses right in that particular area. And she said she had her headlights on high beam. And she said she saw something slowly walk in front of her. She said she didn't have a clue what it was, but as she got closer, she caught what looked like a monkey man, and that's what she referred to it as, finished crossing the road and go off into the woods. So I believe her. She was not one to fabricate things. She was always truthful and straightforward. And when she talked to people, she shot from the hips too. She didn't hold anything back. If you ask her honest opinion, she would give it to you honestly, I promise. So some sort of cryptid. I don't think I've heard of one that just had eyes and no mouth, though. Not a popular one.
I mean, obviously it was some type of cryptid.
Devil dog, maybe.
A skinwalker.
Yeah.
A skinwalker, maybe.
But didn't have a mouth, just eyes and nothing in the face area. That's concerning because I am thinking skinwalker too. Now that you mention it.
Uh huh. You know, there's been
shapeshifter.
Yeah, there's been a lot of reports. You know, of skinwalkers.
Yes. It makes me think of the urban legend of the hitchhiker, though. I know that sounds crazy, but the way they just, you know, saw it on the side of the road makes you think of the urban legend of the hitchhiker, where the hitchhiker's there, they pick him up, and then they look back in their rearview mirror, and the hitchhiker's gone, even yes. though he was in their car.
There's been so many variations of that story over the years.
Every town has its own variation of that story. Everywhere I've ever lived,
yeah,
I've had somebody tell me about either the lady in white or the hitchhiker up such and such road. Don't stop and pick them up. And in Huntington, where I grew up, there was one, and I want to say it was like 7th Street. No, it was 5th Street Hill. They told that there was a lady in white up there that had been killed on prom night. And that she hiked that area. And then one time I was passing through there riding with my dad, and we saw a lady walking along the road in white. It was kind of rainy. And when my dad looked back in his rearview mirror, he said, "Where'd she go?" She wasn't there anymore when he looked in the rearview mirror behind us at the road.
Interesting. Those stories fascinate me, though. Even though they change and there's different variations of it, something had to have happened for the story to have even been told, and by so many people.
Well, there was legitimately a lady up there that had been a young woman who was killed up there in a white prom dress on prom night in a car accident. Like, that was actual in the newspaper from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
But an animal, though.
The animal's really weird because, I mean, what do you even make of that?
Well, I just don't know.
It's hard to say, you know. I tend to lean toward the shapeshifter or the skinwalker.
Yeah, the only experience I've ever had is coming home from work. It's probably been 2 years ago. Something ran out in the road in front of me. It was too thin and narrow headed to have been a dog. A fox is not as big as this was. I don't know what it was. It wasn't a coyote. It wasn't anything like that. I'm just not sure what this was, but it had hair on it. But it was big. I mean, not big like Bigfoot, anything like that. But it was, I don't know, if I had to tell you a shape of it, similar between a Doberman, but the hair on it was a gray kind of color, gray brownish. Could have been a dog, maybe a breed I'm not familiar with.
Could have been.
But it was tall like a Great Dane, but very slim. And I remember it had a narrow head and its ears stood straight up. But it happened really, really fast. And that's all I can tell you about it.
It was a werewolf.
Oh, my God. I'll be scared to death to go that way. Time's about to change and it'll be dark when I'm coming home. I'll go a different route.
I shouldn't have said that. It was a rabbit.
it was a little fuzzy bunny.
Every morning when I go to work, yeah, I mean, it's dark out. And I go past that cemetery down the road here.
Yeah.
And every time I go past it, I have this feeling somebody's standing there watching me.
I know. That is down the road from us, yes. Jesse.
Every time I drive past that cemetery, you're talking about up there in church, right?
Yeah, down the road where we had to get out that night after that investigation and ground ourselves. So the cemetery across the road. In the daytime, that's the most peaceful place.
The first time I came out there by myself, when I passed that cemetery, it was dark. And I was like, oh, this doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
No. I even slowed down a few times to see if I could see somebody standing out there.
One of my son's old girlfriends, her mother used to bring her daughter over, and then either we'd take her home or she'd come back and get her, or we would meet halfway to get this child back home to her mom. And she said one night, and this is when she stopped coming at night. She was like, y'all are going to have to meet me halfway or bring her all the way home this evening. And she said, can I tell you something? And I said, yeah. Now, she was not into the paranormal. Very ladylike woman and, you know, good Christian lady. And she knew we did paranormal investigations. She told me, she said, one night I was coming to get my daughter. And she said, I looked out at that cemetery that's right down the road. We'd never said anything about paranormal to her. No stories, no nothing. Because she was not into that. She said, so just as I was going by, she said, out of the corner of my eye, I seen some kind of glowy figure standing out there in the cemetery. She said, I turned my head and looked back and it was gone. She said, I don't know what it was. She said, some sort of light. She said, I really don't know what it was, but she said, it did creep me out. And she said, I drove a little bit faster from that point to get to your house.
Well, I believe it because, you know, I've been feeling things.
Well, you know who I'm talking about. Yes, without calling names.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Well, she was just not the type of person to tell something like that. She just was not. So be careful the things you see on the side of the road. Okay, I have another story called The Visit. When I was 13, my friend's dad came over, knocked on my door. Before I could even get to the door, he started walking away. I went outside and called out to him, but he just looked back at me and continued home. I thought it was odd, so I sent him a text, no reply, but that was normal for him. About 5 hours later, my friend came and knocked on my door. She told me that her dad had died the night before in a car accident because he had fallen asleep at the wheel. I'll never forget that moment of confusion and shock. I had just seen him. He couldn't be dead. To this day, I'm still very shocked about it. Yes.
That's actually a pretty common phenomena.
It really is.
Especially, you know, when somebody first dies. There's been reports for years and years, right after death, somebody sees that person.
Or they come to visit.
Yeah.
In some sort of way. When the recently deceased tend to visit me, it's in a dream. If it's somebody that was very close to me, I dream about them. And I don't get peace until I get the dream visit. And I have a friend, Joey. Matter of fact, I have Joey's ashes. He was like a brother to me. And when he passed away, you know, I kept telling Michael, I'm going to get a visit from Joey. I know he's going to come visit me. Weeks went by, months went by, no visit. Then one night, I finally had that dream visitation from Joey. And I got closure about his death. And that made me feel good. It really did, knowing that, you know, or maybe subconsciously, I needed that closure because he died so suddenly. I needed that closure. So maybe subconsciously I dreamed this so I could get the closure, or maybe he actually visited me in that dream. But it was so real. When I have dreams about my lost loved ones coming to visit me, they are more real than normal dreams. There's more color. There's more detail in the rooms. It's just totally different.
It's like when Dorothy steps into Oz.
Kind of.
Yes.
Like your normal dreams are just kind of blah, and then those are like, boom.
They're more vivid. I remember in my dream that I laid my head over on his shoulder, and I could feel my head touching against his shoulder. I could feel that.
You ever have a dream where you're actually smelling the, like, I had a boyfriend in high school that died in a car accident, and I dreamed about him the night that he died, and I could smell his cologne when I hugged him.
I haven't had that happen in a dream, but I have smelled another one of my friends, the way they smell, the particular brand of cologne. I actually have smelled that before. I almost didn't get that out, but I have smelled that cologne scent around me before, which I don't mind. It makes me feel good. It lets me know that somebody I loved is close to me.
You know, the ghost I have in my house, we smell her perfume sometimes.
Yeah, you've told me about that.
That's ghost smells cool. Is pretty common, you know, a lot of times.
The perfume smells exactly like my second grade teacher. It's like the same perfume that my second grade teacher wore. This lady must have worn it too. But we'll be like just sitting in the living room watching TV, and Michaela and I'll look at each other like, did you smell that? Yeah, I smell that. What did you smell? Michaela will be like, I smell old lady perfume. And that's the only way to describe it. It was kind of like a sweet, musky, maybe with a little patchouli in it. Definitely it was an old lady perfume.
But I'm trying to remember what the name of that perfume was that was a flowery scent. It was real popular. People used to wear it all the time. I never did, but I know people who did. I can't remember the name of that flower it was named after. But anyway, I've got another cool story for you. Okay. The boy who lived in a closet. I'm not a superstitious man at all, but this is one story that I cannot explain. I was spending Christmas. Now, this guy is from Australia, so I'm just going to read it as he wrote it. I was spending time with a mate's family at their holiday home, which was in the middle of nowhere in the bush, Australia. There were about 10 of us, and two of the uncles would be turning up the next day. Anyway, the place that we were staying was old. I'm talking about at least 150 years old. And one of the rooms was this old closet type thing. And it says, think about the wardrobe from Beauty and the Beast. And that was the room that the youngest kid was going to be staying in because it had a single bed. The youngest was about 5 years old and was the son of one of the uncles. So anyway, I was walking around the house when I heard the kid talking to someone in the room. I thought that someone was there. So I walked in and said, hey, who are you talking to? And the kid replied, I'm talking to Charlie. He lives in the closet. He is my friend, and we're going to play more later. Naturally, I thought it was just him playing around and making up an imaginary friend. So the next day when we were having lunch and the uncles turned up, I said to him to tell his father about his friend. When the kid said, oh, that's just Charlie. We're going to play later on. The father grabbed his arm and said in a kind of panicked voice, where's Charlie? And what does he look like? The kid responded, he lives in the closet in my room. And he has this long coat on. Both of the uncles jumped up, ran into the room, dragged the closet outside, and set it on fire. We all then left really quickly. I asked them both, WTF had happened. And they said, when we were boys, we used to play with an imaginary friend named Charlie as well, who lived in the closet. And he always tried to get us to come play with him in the bush away from the house. So whatever it was that happened, it was enough to scare the crap out of two grown men when one of their sons mentioned, excuse me, an imaginary friend with the same name of the one who lived in the closet.
Huh.
It's not unheard of that spirits play with children.
Right.
Especially child spirits. But child spirits also are kind of iffy because it might be a kid and it might be a demon pretending to be a kid.
Exactly.
And the fact that it was trying to lure the children away from the house is concerning.
Yeah, and then when you said that about demons mimicking children, and then Michael and I have this giggly little girl that just runs all through our house here all the time. You can hear.
I think she's the same one that runs through the other building on your property, too.
I think so, too. I think she travels back and forth. But nonetheless, you know, it is disturbing in a way.
Well, we've had a lot of people here over at the other building.
Yeah, I've heard her at the other building.
Yes, yeah. And then the handprint that you saw over there that time on the glass.
That was actually Alex that found those.
Mm-hmm.
Mom, come here. There's handprints in the steam on the windows.
Right, because when you come and visit, you know, you stay in the other building on the property.
Yes. There's everything we need over there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kitchen, and it's, bathroom, anything.
It's like a big
guest house. It's not like we stick you in some barn or something. So, no, we do not stick Jessica in a barn or a storage shed.
All right, I guess you can see it with an outhouse. No, I'm kidding. It's actually very comfortable. Very hospitable. So anyway, we were there and we got up in the morning and we went to the bathroom because my daughter Alex is 16, but she's a little scared of the dark, especially in there, because she knows the stories about the little girl. And I think she's afraid of what she would do if she like come face to face with it, honestly.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
She hasn't grown the strength that we have to where we don't run from them anymore.
I don't run from them, but I do. I don't like the dark. I'll be honest with you. And there's a reason for that. It's because if something comes after me or someone, I want to be able to see them.
Well, you can't always count on that, the paranormal, though.
No, well, no. But I mean, here in our home, I've tried night lights, everything, you know, trying to find something that doesn't disturb Michael. So finally I found the perfect thing. I have those LED lights and I have it on a pretty lavender color. they stay on 24 hours a day because I forget to turn them off. But these lights light up the whole room, and it's a soothing light. It's a soothing color, and it doesn't bother Michael, and he's able to sleep with these lights on. But I guess that stems from, I dreamed a few times that someone had broke into our house and they were coming at me with a knife, and it was dark, and all I could see was the hand and the knife blade. I remember through the window, the security light that we have out front, it was reflecting off of the blade of that knife. And that's been many years ago. But now we're living back in the same house as when I had that. Well, I dreamed it two or three times. We're living back in the same house. And I'm like, light this room up. Because if he comes in here, I want to see him coming so I can defend myself.
I'm the opposite. Like, I like the dark. I can't sleep with any light on. Any light. I have room darkening shades. And curtains. Anyway.
Yeah, I used to be that way too.
I can't sleep with the light. But if I had a home intruder, I would want to have the home court advantage in the dark. Because he don't know where he's going. So that gives me many, many opportunities to take cover and shoot him.
Right. I still have...
Make him a ghost.
Yeah.
And then cast him out of here because I don't want no burglar staying.
Well, if you'll know I got him if I ever call you and say, Jessica, bring big trash bags and duct tape. Hurry.
Are you going to have me wear a disguise? Because I've got a T-Rex suit.
That will be just fine. But I know some places that we can take him to. Okay, so I have one more story for us. And it's entitled The Unresponsive Sister. The old house my family grew up in was haunted AF. Doors would forcibly slam open and shut. Lights would turn on and off by themselves. Didn't matter if you were alone or with other people in the house. Crap still happened. You'd hear footsteps and find nobody there. Stuff of that nature. Most memorable for me would be walking past my sister sleeping on the couch and her sitting up and turning to look at me. Only her eyes were still rolled back in her head, and all you could see was the whites of her eyes. She was unresponsive. And when I talked to her, creepy enough, right? When I started to walk more, her head would turn to follow me. I went and got a friend who was staying at my house for the night, but my sister was unchanged. Creeped us out. So we went back to my room and locked the door. You know, you could say the kid was asleep, but the fact that her head turned and followed this person.
Maybe it's a form of sleepwalking.
Well, that would be an intelligent haunting if it turned and acknowledged her being there.
But it was their sister.
Yeah.
It wasn't a spirit.
Then would that be a possession? If it was controlling her body?
Well, you know, if it was a form of sleep, she was asleep. Because I know... Sometimes the kids, when they were little, when I would check on them, their eyes would be cracked and all you could see were the whites of their eyes and they look creepy. But now somebody's still asleep. They don't have control of their eye muscles because they're out. They're asleep. So the eyes would not be fastened on anything. So maybe the fact that the sister was turning her head everywhere he walked. Was the head following the sound?
Well, there's also, have you ever met somebody that sleepwalks?
Yeah, my sister, I had a sister that sleepwalked really bad when we were younger.
I sleepwalked.
So I do too, but not as bad as I did when I was a kid. But we had a friend that stayed the night one time, and we weren't allowed to have friends stay the night anymore during the week after she did, because she sleptwalked and in her sleep was standing in our hallway with eyes wide open, screaming about a giant spider that wasn't even there. And so I know for a fact that people can sleepwalk with their eyes open and they look conscious, but they're not.
Well, this is a story I don't, well, it's not really a story. It's a factual thing that happens. And it hasn't happened in a long time, but there would be times where I would be woke up because it'd feel like my hands slammed down on the bed, my arm. And Michael noticed that when I slept, it was like something was raising my arm up in the air, pulling it up high, and then letting it go. And my arm would just fall to the bed and it would wake me up. But Michael has witnessed this several
Oh, yeah.
times, all hours of the night. So I still don't know what that is. He doesn't know what it is, but it hasn't happened in a long time. So I hope it doesn't happen again. It hasn't happened since we've moved back here to the house.
Only thing we've been having really here is the door opening.
Our bedroom door will open. Actually, the doorknob will turn and the door will open.
Yeah. Now
Well, there
our
was
dog
that
knows how to
one.
open it too, but last time it happened, she was laying on the bed with us and the
And
door opened. Yes.
that was last night. We
There
heard
was
the
something.
doorknob jiggle, the door open. Addie's on the bed, and I know my dog's best friend is Gizmo, which is, well, he's not a kitten anymore. He's getting to be a full-grown cat, but they're buds. They play all the time. When they're in bed with us, they're like laying next to each other. Gizmo sometimes sleep with his paw up on Addie's paw. They're just buds. Odd relationship, a dog and a cat, but
Odd couple.
yeah, they're the odd couple. Cat dog. Oh, that reminds me of Jeremy. Bless him, Jesus. But anyway, that's all we're having happening here at our house right now. But this has been a fun hour. I have enjoyed this, and we ought to do this more often too.
Just ghost stories are fun.
Yeah,
And
yes.
analyzing the paranormal background behind each story, and trying to rationalize it, because
I wish.
what we do, it's like Destiny said, I don't really get scared. I've encountered so many paranormal activities over the year that I usually look for it when it happens. I go toward it. I don't run away from it.
Yeah,
Well, I
we're
can
to the
imagine
point where
that
we.
Michael hears something when we're investigating. He's right going toward it.
The most of us on the team, I really don't know anybody that'll run from it. We have a team of people that aren't scared to continue on and investigate it. And that's great because we can't run from it.
And that's
No.
what we do. We're there to investigate the claims that the clients are having. Well, we're gonna get off of here. It's been a fun hour and we have enjoyed every minute of it. I don't know if our guest is gonna get to be on next week. They're supposed to let me know by Monday. So keeping my fingers crossed, we're gonna have some cool, exciting people here on later in November. So guys, till next week, this is Destiny Fox.
Michael.
And Jessica.
Peace and love, guys.
Peace and love.